broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, of course, starts now. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for August 10th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is hour one of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. And yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we stand for the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That's our guide. We're convinced the checks and balances put in place by the founders, brilliant, one of the great solutions to restoration. We reject revolution. Go study history. It doesn't turn out very well. Most of the time, it's a disaster. It's violent. It's absolutely trouble. Thank heavens for the American Revolution. One time in history was the charm. We need to celebrate and be appreciative for that reality. But now the founding fathers gave their blood, their sacrifice, and more, everything on the altar for the sacred cause of liberty. Because of that, we have the framework for restoration. We stand for a peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Now, let's start out with a quick recap of yesterday's broadcast and the discussion points we had. We talked about the Los Angeles government, in other words, L.A., literally pays $1.3 billion to illegal aliens in a two-year period of time, $1.3 billion. Folks, we just can't afford this kind of fiasco, rewarding illegality like that. Well, we talked about Miami-Dade, Florida. It's a county down there. And I guess they worked with Trump to change their sanctuary status. It works, writes Douglas Hanks. They're rejecting sanctuary cities. Now, I pray that's true. Good for them. I hope it's true. But when I see L.A. spending that kind of money, then Miami rejecting it, and then Chicago announced that it's suing the Trump administration over an unexpected loss of, quote, federal funds over the city's sanctuary status and their policies on immigration enforcement, which they say includes not honoring federal detention requests. I don't know what's going on here, but you look at those three big cities, L.A., Chicago and Miami, and they all have each have a different strategy. Are they really just doing what they want to do? Or is there kind of a three-pronged effort to put their, finger in the wind and find out which way the wind blows? Who's going to be successful? I think the rest of the cities are hanging out, these sanctuary cities, and waiting to see how it fares with the Donald, with the courts, with the Congress, with the people, and they're waiting to see what's going to happen. Now, I pray it's genuine, but time will tell. Feds are now warning Google about tracking in-store purchases, writes WND.com. What are the feds going to do if Google tracks us illegally, huh? The government's been tracking us illegally for a long time as well. The biggest push and the biggest lie exposed and the most criminal activity under that started with George Bush, folks. He said he wasn't tracking American citizens. He was. He lied. He did so. Then he just simply smiled and said, Congress, give me authority to do what I've already been illegally doing. Congress then illegally granted authority as if they had the authority in the first place. Wow. Mike Pence, supposedly battling with the New York Times, disputes the New York Times report. They say he's gearing up to run in 2020. He says that's absurd. Who's right? Well, I submit to you that it's nothing but a theatrical lie in the press, whether the, Trump-Pence administration playing games here or not, I don't know. But somebody's ignorant, because look, Mike Pence, even if he was running in 2020, even if that was the plan behind the scenes, you would never admit to undermining your boss, Donald Trump, in that way. However, if anything happens to Donald Trump, he doesn't want to run a second term. He gets impeached. He somehow is not able to serve his second term, whatever the case may be. Of course he's running. By nature of the supreme law of the land, he's the guy set second to fill the slot should the first not be able to. So obviously he's set staged for second or next or whatever you want to say. But to suggest that he's plotting some undermining of his boss, of course Mike Pence is going to dispute the New York Times article. It's a no-win situation. But what happens is they get continued political theater and they distract over here while the real issues happen over there. Airbnb canceling bookings for anyone attending the, quote, Unite the Right rally. Philip Stuckey write the piece in Charlottesville, North Carolina. They're working on a Unite the Right rally, an alt-right rally planned in the Charlottesville, North Carolina area this Saturday is a follow-up to protests in May about the removal of Confederate statues. And the battle's on. They say all these alt-righters are racist. I disagree with that. Some of them may be. Most of them are not. Certainly the people that I know that stand for white privilege or white race or white, you know, nationalism, or some would even say white supremacists, which I disagree with all those terms. Some who believe in standing for their heritage, that doesn't make them racist, okay? But all I know is James Edwards in the Political Cesspool Radio program, aired by Liberty News Radio every Saturday evening, has a co-host by the name of Eddie Miller who will be at that rally reporting live just for you. Keep an eye on that. We'll keep an eye on Eddie. How's that? Hour two of Liberty Roundtable Live yesterday. We talked about Stephen Miller. He's been on this radio program. Great guy. One of the top officials in the Trump administration. He's now got a new term for the, well, he says not the mainstream media, the extreme media. Instead of mainstream, they're the extreme media. And boy, is he spot on that. We stand with the Constitution. We stand with the Bill of Rights. We stand with the American way. We stand with the pro-life, liberty, and property message. We stand with the pro-God, family, and country message. We stand with the founding fathers. We stand with traditional American ideology. We stand with the traditional family. We stand with all things traditional. The mainstream press going off the rails. And then they run around and tell you how evil we are. Well, hey, Stephen Miller's right. They're the extreme media, folks. They're all crazy. Report calls on Jeff Sessions to end the EPA's, listen carefully, $1.5 billion slush fund. Did you know the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, has a $1.5 billion slush fund? I submit to you that the EPA is nothing but a rogue, unconstitutional, weaponized agency against the people and against business. Where's the Donald to shut it down, huh? Come on, Donald. Trump fans the flames on escalating tensions between the United States and North Korea. Secretary of State Tillerson walks back Donald's claims. That's the Huffington Post writing that. But President says North Korea risks what's called fire and fury, referring to our most extreme weaponry. John Bacon with the piece. Now, this is serious, folks. This is serious problems. We're escalating with Korea. We're one step away from trouble there. Beware. Now, I believe they'll back away. I don't believe this is the brink point, if you will. But I'm telling you, the rhetoric is off the charts. Now, you could say, well, look, Sam, North Korea started it. We're just responding. We're just letting them know we're not going to take any of their garbage. Okay, fine. But understand, we meddle in the affairs of every nation almost. We're in 130 nations, militarily speaking, leading with the peace is war idea. Okay, we've got a foreign policy that's just entanglement after confusing entanglement. And I highlighted China and Taiwan yesterday in yesterday's broadcast as well, talking about how confusing our policy is. We're funding and training and arming Taiwanese. At the same time, we claim there's a single child or a single China policy, and we don't really recognize Taiwan, but we're taking calls from them and we're funding them. And should push comes to shove, what side are we going to pick? Well, they say we've already picked sides based on all kinds of accords and agreements and etc. You know what? We've got a disaster. We need to step back and avoid these foreign entanglements. We're involved in the North Korean, South Korean battle. We're involved in the China-Taiwan battle. We're involved in the Russia issue. We're involved in the Chinese issue. We're involved in the Syrian. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on. We need to lead with a non-interventionist foreign policy, folks. But anyway, the White House is even weighing privatizing the, quote, Afghan war, writes USA Today. Now, I don't know what they mean by an Afghan war. We haven't declared war since World War II, folks. Oh, you mean the undeclared, unconstitutional war that we've been in? The longest war ever in the United States history that's a non-declared war? Yeah, and now we're going to privatize it with private contractors, so it's going to be what? Private contractors running it, government funding it? How does all that work for a privatization lie? Donald, bring people home. Don't be waging private forever, never-ending wars, would you please? Foxconn plans on building another plant. They say in Midwest, writes John Swartz. The problem with it is the Wisconsin deal requires up to $3 billion in subsidies from the people. It's absolutely insanity. Foxconn also wants to cultivate ties with Wisconsin and the ginseng growers.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money.
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Kirk Crosby hopefully will be with us soon. He's had some family issues. Our prayers are with him and his family. He'll be back soon. It was a little bit of an emergency, so our prayers are with those guys. Now, we talked about this. Foxconn building another plant in Wisconsin. Well, this is in the Midwest, they say. This one will be in Michigan. And the Wisconsin deal requires up to $3 billion in subsidies from taxpayers. State lawmakers are mulling a subsidy package nearly 50 times bigger than any previous package they've ever considered. I mean, it's absolutely psychotic. Foxconn wants to cultivate ties with Michigan ginseng growers. Or, I'm sorry, with Wisconsin ginseng growers. I've never seen a thing like this in my life. I don't know why we're so into socialism, why we want to subsidize products. Look, we try to punish other companies for dumping products or subsidizing products, creating an uneven playing field, and now we're doing the same thing to the umpth degree. What's going on around here, folks? In fact, they literally say some of these deals with how much we're literally talking about subsidizing. It could take, what, 20 years or something for payback on it? It's absolutely insanity. And what's surprising to me is these, quote, conservatives, these Republicans are just falling all over themselves to make or to ink these deals. It's absolutely psychotic. Robert Mueller is in the news. Now, you know he's a Democrat, literally assembling the whole venue to take down the Trumpster, they say, right? Well, I don't know if that's true or if it's a big old con game for all of us. But nevertheless, Robert Mueller is now encouraged or urged to look into Seth Rich murder, Joseph Farah. Well, I hope that we look into that, but I don't trust Robert Mueller to look into anything, folks. Do you? So, when anytime we bring up Seth Rich to try to get to the bottom of it, I think it's a good thing. But if you're not very careful, what's going to happen is you're going to end up with somebody like a Kenneth Starr example in the Bill Clinton scandal. His job wasn't to prosecute, or his job wasn't to really get to the bottom of it and find out the truth. His job was to gather all the information that he possibly could and then literally bottle it up, classify it, create a gag order, and shut down, control the outcome of the investigation. And I'm concerned that if this Seth Rich murder thing gets under the Robert Mueller scenario, then we're going to see a reality where it's all bottled up and controlled and classified and gag ordered to the point where we'll never get to the truth. All right, Disney planning a standalone streaming service, says that it will pull films from its Netflix partnership, USA Today. Anyway, kind of an interesting twist. Is it a good idea? Well, I love, as Kurt Crosby wisely points out, I love the competition. I love more and more and more a la carte channels, Disney, Hallmark, anybody who wants to put together a channel. We've even got our own channel on Roku. Look for the Liberty News Radio channel. It's a radio channel, live and on-demand radio at your fingertips on the Roku player. So I get these channels. And I'd like to see Netflix open it up to where I can add a channel on Netflix, too. You could have a radio channel there, right? Or an Amazon channel, or et cetera. Now, this is phenomenal news. My problem with it is that you've got government regulation controlling how this uncoupling or unbundling of channels occur. So everybody's cord-cutting and leaving the cable networks because, look, it's just too darn expensive, and most folks don't want most of the channels, but they're forced to with these bundling contracts. And the cable companies said we could never afford to unbundle, would go broke. Now, I don't believe them. I think they'd do better if they unbundled, personally. They'd have less people. Their average bill or the average billing would be less, but they'd have more subscribers, in my humble opinion. But suffice it to say, when people leave and cut the cord and they unbundle, it can be less expensive and tremendous if you don't have very many services. For example, all I have is a Roku player, $60 one-time purchase. And then I basically have Felon, which is like a Hallmark system for on-demand video. It's kind of like a Netflix, but it's much, much, much smaller, a lot more Christian, a lot more conservative or family-oriented programming. It's called Felon, and I subscribe to that for, I think it's like $35 a year or something like that, or maybe at the most $50 a year. It's not too expensive. And I don't have any other services, but I got a lot of free Roku channels. I got that Feeling. And then I rent movies oftentimes from Amazon. And I just simply buy the movie or rent the movie that I want. And that's the way that I go. And it's a lot cheaper than a cable bill will be. I mean, a lot cheaper. I mean, I'm probably paying, even with all the movies that we rent and everything else, maybe $15 a month or something. When you figure it all out, average it all out. I used to love VidAngel, because they would let you buy a movie, watch it edited with these filters to make sure that you didn't have to watch the porn and the swearing and the perversions. And then I'd sell the movie back and it would cost me a couple of bucks. That was a phenomenal option. Now they've, by forced regulation, and this is my whole point, by forced regulation, they've changed that game. I cannot afford all these services for $8 a month. By the time I, spend $8 a month on five or six services, I'm up to the 40, 50, 60 bucks of a cable provider again. So by regulation and by shutting companies down and by lawsuits and everything else, if we're not very careful, we're going to create what we want, which is a la carte. We're going to cut the cord, but it's going to be more expensive if we're not very careful. And the reason it's more expensive is because of government regulation, because the free market is not allowed to work properly. So I agree 1,000% with Kurt Crosby's point that, hey, these a la carte and this competition stuff is phenomenal. Where I'm having a problem is with the regulation that's going into the way this is all going down. It's all governed by lawsuit. It's all governed by government law and regulations and et cetera. For example, why can't VidAngel sell me a movie? Since it's my movie, I can edit it or watch pieces of it or rewind or fast forward or cut out any commercials or do whatever I want to, right? And watch it. Why can't I bleep out the swear words and do what I want to my movie And then after I'm done, if I want to sell the movie back to them at a discounted rate, they're buying it from me used. Why can't we do that? Well, because your government says so. That's why. See? Why can't I use technology to change that movie in a way that makes it family friendly? Well, it's all these regulatory realities. There was a company that used to install a bunch of antennas. And then what they'd let you do is they'd let you connect to their service over the internet. And then they'd let you have a discounted local channel package from a different city. I can't remember what it was called, like Ariel or something like that. Well, the government regulated them out of existence. So see, all these new ways to decrease costs and cut costs are regulated to the point where a lot of it can't get done. And a lot of it is really regulated by the government, where they're picking sides in these debates. Why can't I have an antenna in, say, New York City? And why can't that give me a long cable over the internet to my TV and let me watch, say, New York local TV channels and do free-to-air TV? Why can't I do that? Well, because the big media conglomerates have got together and they've sued the socks out of everybody that tries to cut the cord and or decrease costs and or build a better mousetrap. And they've literally legally shut them down, regulatedly shut them down to the point where nothing gets off the ground. So I'm just warning about this issue. It's great that we're cutting the cord. It's great that we have competition. It's great that people are building a better mousetrap. It's all wonderful, except for when government regulates this to death and manipulates it to death. We're literally being stifled in our real free market competition. All right, I went to see the new film. We ended on this point last broadcast yesterday. I went to see the new film, We Love You, Sally Carmichael. And it's a teeny film created in Utah. Some family friends of ours are the producers of the film. It was filmed at a friend of ours' home. A great movie, folks. I really highly recommend it. We Love You, Sally Carmichael. And it's about this gentleman who creates a book, or a series of books, I should say. And these series of books are supposedly written by a lady by the name of Sally Carmichael. That's like a Mormon mom that, you know, does all these things. And everybody loves her. And there's this big old, you know, semi-cult following of this Sally Michael lady, or Sally Carmichael. Turns out that it's not a female at all. It's a guy that wrote these books. And he feels like he's a failing writer. And he had a great idea that hit. Now that he's under contract and they want him to do all these different things. And he's like, no way. This is a fluke. I want to kill Sally Carmichael. In other words, I don't want this fake character to continue. And the, you know, contract makers or the publisher, etc., says you can't do that. You're under contract. We'll sue you if you do. Anyway, he's forced into doing this movie about Sally Carmichael, and he's forced into meeting this popular actor, and he's forced into all these different things. Anyway, long story, and I don't want to blow it, but he meets a girl. A lady, I should say. They become great friends, eventually fall in love. It's got a romantic element to it. It shows you how abusive and hostile the media really is. But it also shows you a great way to win and build families. Tremendous, neat movie. All right. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Yeah, just kidding.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. Federal agents say there was a major drug raid on the Upper West Side of New York City this week. Agents seizing 20 pounds of fentanyl and heroin worth $3 million on the open market. Now, fentanyl is an opioid that in its purest form can be deadly. Agents for the Drug Enforcement Agency say that if it is mishandled, it could kill half the population of New York City. The inevitable collapse of the nation's only health care system is accelerating. Three Republican senators say saving what is left, well, that would be a last-ditched effort in the call to replace and repeal. The latest state to be hard hit is Nevada, where many rural counties have learned that they will have no option in all of next year for insurance from the exchange. Some say the reason this has come about is not because the existing health insurance plan has imploded, but there has been so much criticism of it. Large insurance companies are afraid to stay in the plan, and that jeopardizes what some say is a house of cards. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
Audio Compass is the perfect software solution for remote broadcasting. Consider Audio Compass for sporting events, talk show hosts, sound bites from the field, and more. Allow Audio Compass to transfer low-delay, crystal-clear audio over the Internet. AudioCompass.com.
There is a place you can go to get up to speed quickly on all the stories that matter to freedom-loving people. GovernAmerica.com features news and commentary about Agenda 21, technocracy, the economy, border violence, and more. Go to GovernAmerica.com. That's GovernAmerica.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, Kirk Crosby's back with me. We're finished with the recap of yesterday's news. Man, we talk about so many stories. It's incredible. By the way, Kurt, welcome to the broadcast first, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
Prayers are that everybody's well in your family. I just mentioned you had a little bit of a family personal deal, and prayers that everybody's okay, sir.
Yeah, we're working with
powering
it,
through it. Doing, all right, good.
Yeah.
All right. There's a few stories that are fantastic to discuss, Kurt. Headline, New York Times admits that its front page climate change article was wrong. Daily Caller. The Daily Caller has that story along with everybody else and their dog now. The New York Times could take on their face once again. But the main headline from the Daily Caller, Jack Crow writes the piece for DC. It says this, the five biggest New York Times screw-ups this year alone, writes Jack Crow. Have you seen this, Kurt?
No, but only five?
Well, that's just huge screw-ups this year. We're not counting the tiny screw-ups. It's only this year. And then it also depends on which ones you can blatantly call screw-ups. Like you and I might call several of them good dishonest point. Or screw-ups where they would say, well, at least it's, quote, factual news. This is where they literally had to, well, retract or correct or admit they were wrong and that they didn't have, you know. So this is blatant with admissions kind of stuff, right? Some of them they don't admit. Some of them, they, you know, even though they get caught, they don't retract and all that kind of stuff. Now, the reason that this is so important to me, I want to highlight these five issues that Jack brings up over at the Daily Caller. He's spot on this. But remember, Donald said the New York Times was literally like an enemy of the people, Kurt.
Yeah. And then he goes and talks to him.
And then he goes and talks to him all the time. It's like his favorite place to go. Now, what I find fascinating about it, though, is he said that he was going to sue him, Kurt.
Yep. Yeah.
Is that lawsuit winding through the courts? Can you look that up and give me an update on that?
I haven't seen any update on it.
It's kind of like the Lock Hillary Up plan, isn't it?
Yeah, that's working the same way.
Mm-hmm. So I don't really see any pay dirt on this. Now, I find that fascinating, though. I mean, look, if we're talking about an enemy of the people, the dishonest press, I mean, Donald hasn't called me an enemy of the people, Kurt. In fact, through CNN, Donald, through his press agent, remember the secret press agent, Kurt? Remember her?
The one you're talking about, what's her name? Something. It's not Hillary.
No, it's not Hillary. It's Hope Hicks.
Hope, yeah, okay.
Well, anyway, so Hope Hicks in CNN said that Liberty Roundtable Live was a legitimate radio talk show that cares about America.
Mm-hmm.
Go look it up. That's what CNN reported. So now let me get this straight. The Trump administration calls Liberty Roundtable Live a legitimate talk show through CNN and then calls the New York Times, literally along with the mainstream press, an enemy of the people, Kurt, full of fake news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, do you think that they ought to sue them and shut down the New York Times then and promote Liberty Roundtable Live, Kurt? What do you think?
Well, it sure would seem like it, based on their words. You know, it looks like, let's see, I see one, you say this is a Daily Caller story. I guess the Washington Post has got it too. World at Daily, you know, I don't know for sure who brought it out first, probably Daily Caller, you know, I'm sure the Washington Post wants to beat him up as well, but, you know, they want to be the paper of record, I'm pretty sure, you know.
Uh-huh. But why should we... Why should we allow that, Kurt? And why should we give them time? If they're an enemy of the people, Kurt, why would you ever allow them to be, quote, the paper of record, so to speak?
Well, I think that's one of the main problems with that whole deal. I mean, there's so much government money that goes to them, one way or the other. The big corporations that, you know, receive so many of the large government contracts, then they just funnel, you know, I mean, you're just continually doing it. We even do it on our side, Sam. I mean, the good guys on our side that, you know, do attempt to run for, you know, Congress or president or whatever, you know, so many times they're putting their, you know, hard-earned dollars and our hard-earned dollars as we back them to our opposition, to the, what the Trump administration called them, the fake news, the enemies of the people, and yet, you know, we just keep doing the same old stuff, and that's the, what do they call it?
I know, but Donald Kurt is going to change this, buddy.
Yeah, well,
I mean, come on, don't you get it?
You know, I know there's some, you know, move, at least compared to Obama, I guess, there's some, you know, hope there, but doggone it, Sam, there's so much more that could be done and so much more that should be done.
Well, we think the Donald Trump administration ought to hire us and put us somewhere in his media apparatus to help that change happen faster. We could literally all together just join together and drain the swamp, buddy. What do you think of that?
Well, I think so. I mean, I can't. I mean, I do some plumbing work, and I know how to take care of a drain when there's a problem of stoppage, you know. I mean, you got to get a plunger kind of thing going on or some other kind of thing. You got to remove that obstruction, you know. I mean, I had to do that just in the last 24 hours. But, man, I'll tell you what, you need a massive plunger for the Washington, D.C. area, you know what I mean, Sam?
I heard that. All right, now I'm going to talk about the five biggest NY Times screw up this year alone. You ready to hear them, Kurt?
Yeah.
All right.
Sure.
Number one.
This should take quite a while.
No, it's pretty short, really, because I got rid of all the red.
Well, I
just put.
Oh, okay. I just
it takes
mean
a long
that,
time you know, to edit that stuff, Kurt.
I know that's the key thing.
That's why Kurt sends me full stories.
You got to read.
Got to edit them on the fly.
Well, I'm the same way. I always don't want to send you just the parts that I think are important because I'm thinking, well, yeah, but what if he sees something I missed?
Yeah, but you're so good at it, I can take what you do.
Yeah.
All right, now here it is. The Times regurgitated the baseless claim that 17 U.S. intelligence agencies agreed that Russia was responsible for the, quote, meddling in the 2016 elections. So they regurgitated that fact. It started with Hillary Clinton. It was a big old lie. It was never true. And the New York Times got caught big time, and they doubled down on it, but then they were forced to admit the truth. It was a lie. It was wrong. That's huge, Kurt.
Yep.
All right.
And so what I want to know is how many of the
Grant's
big advertisers... yeah, That's what I was thinking.
All their advertisers quit. They're chance. Shutting doors tomorrow. Not.
Yeah, right. You know, every one of them will, and the American people should basically just say, man, we're going to boycott anybody that keeps spending money at the New York Times.
Yeah.
Do you think that's going to happen?
Not a chance. Nothing's going to happen except for more advertisers, more interviews. They're going to be basically promoted more and get more coverage and more readers and more viewers and more promotion than ever before. Why? Because Donald talks big, but he just spars with them, and it keeps them relevant and focused and mainstream in the news. It doesn't at all paint them as extreme, and it doesn't soothe them, and it doesn't literally shut them down in any way. I mean, I just see what I see and call it as I see it, Kurt. Now, the second thing they did wrong.
Could you paint the picture a lot nicer? Maybe could you tell me that the emperor's wearing a new set of clothes? Because I'd
beautiful.
Sure like to hear that.
They're from JCPenney.
I mean, I'd love to hear you say
stuff like...
Oh, JCPenney's
having hard times. They're Amazon new clothes, Kurt.
The president has now restored the Constitution. There is freedom of speech in America once again. Not the freedom of speech we talk about where they go, well, yeah, you can say this, but you can't say this. You can do this, but you can't write that. I mean, if the FDA says, you know, you can't do that. I mean, can you just... tell me, Sam, the good story, because I just want to hear the good news. I want to hear.
Well, try this on.
You know,
let's see if
truth.
We can spin this into good news. So the New York Times mistook a parody Twitter account for the North Korean government account, and they admitted they fell for the parody. And so they basically lied and said, "Hey, the North Korean government they're doing this." It turned out that it was a Twitter account. It was a fake news account that was designed for parody stuff, and they fell for the lie and peddled it and had to admit they were wrong again. Now, Kurt, this might literally smack them. If we're not careful, they might back us into a war with that kind of stuff, huh, Kurt?
Well, yeah. I mean, don't you think?
I think the ratcheting up certainly is not helped by the mainstream press literally getting a... quote, parody account mixed up with a government account. And that's just disaster internationally.
And we've seen, for example, instances where individuals steal a pair of tennis shoes and kill somebody for them. You know, people make huge amounts of money in war, Sam. And I wouldn't put it past them to just want to do work to make money, would you?
No. All right, quick pause. Sam and Kurt, News the Network reviews to use in seconds. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Dear Christine, I wanted to write and tell you some exciting news.
What, what are you doing?
Oh, hi. I'm writing Christine a letter to tell her about Emily's first tooth.
At 2:00 in the morning?
It's a mom thing.
I'll get her.
I don't have the words to thank you for having the courage to give us our most precious gift. We can only thank you by raising her the way you'd always hoped. How'd you get her to sleep so fast?
It's a dad thing. Honey, will you tell her thanks from me?
Of course I will.
Adoption. It's about love. A message from LDS Family Services.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T. At libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
The five items that are fake news the New York Times is engaged in recently, or this year, if you will. They said 17 U.S. agencies said that Russia was involved in the election tampering. It's been proven false. That was a parrot from, or a repeat from Hillary Clinton. The New York Times missed a parody Twitter account, said that it was the North Korean government account. They got caught or forced to retract. Wow. And they admitted they fell for the parody. The third one, twice, listen carefully, twice the New York Times misreported data from a government study on what people buy on food stamps. Then they updated the story. They added an additional error, listen, without issuing a correction. So they tried to get away with changing the story to make it right, and they didn't issue a correction. They just tried to pretend it didn't happen, like 1984. But the problem is they added another mistake, and then they got caught, so it turned out to be mistake after mistake after mistake, and not admitting to the error, trying to pretend that they didn't correct something, but then being forced to admit to all that. So that's like three in one kind of a thing, Kurt. The fourth one, New York Times Washington editor Jonathan Weissman was forced to retract a June tweet after he insinuated that Attorney General Jeff Sessions was corrupt. Actually, sorry about that. He meant Loretta Lynch. Got caught, forced to retract, Kurt. Do you want the fifth one?
Yeah, so now their advertisers are going to cruise and their money's going to dry up. Yeah,
mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about.
That's what we'll see for sure, and that's going to happen.
All right, number five, the New York Times uses the GOP baseball field shooting to falsely attack Sarah Palin with a debunked conspiracy theory. Remember the conspiracy theory where she said in her campaign, look, we're going to target these different reps, and so they had these little, you know, crosshairs things showing the people they wanted to replace for elections, and the lie at the time was, oh my gosh, she's targeting people for assassination. It turned out to be a big old scandal lie. Well, the New York Times chose to resurrect that debunked conspiracy theory and attack Sarah Palin again. Here's the problem, Kurt. A lot of these are not really mistakes like, oh my goodness, we're so sorry, we'll change that. These are intentional attacks. Literally saying that Jeff Sessions is corrupt. Was it a legitimate mistake or intentional? Saying that Sarah Palin was, you know, going to try to attack people and then repeating it. Reporting this false news story about soda pop and food stamps and stuff and then literally correcting it with pretending there was no correction. Mistaking a parody tweet account. Regurgitating the baseless claim about 17 government agencies said that Russia tampered in the elections. Is this really just a mistake by the New York Times? Or is this intentional? And either way, my question to you is it forgivable when a news service makes a mistake? In my humble opinion, yes. Is it forgivable when they know they've made a mistake and they correct it without admitting it's a correction or admitting they had to make changes? And then they add more mistakes. And then when they're called out on it, they're forced to admit it all. In other words, that's adding insult to injury. It's not just like, oh my goodness, we made a mistake. We'll correct that right away, sir. We're so sorry. They literally tried to cover up their mistake and pretend it didn't happen. The problem is, in their mistake, quote, unadmitted to correction, they make more mistakes, thus highlighting the whole double fiasco, so to speak. This is all from one of the supposedly most credible, studious, nothing but the facts, ma'am, get it right newspaper in the country. Donald tells you they're fake news. Now, you put all that together and you show intent to some degree. When you correct a story but don't even admit it's a correction and don't let people know, and then you got more errors in that and you get caught, and then Donald says they're an enemy of the people and they need to be sued. Kurt, is this all rhetoric or will there be something really done about this, do you think? What's your opinion? We're going to see any real pay dirt on this?
You want me to put on the happy picture or the what I've seen so many times in the past.
Well, let me ask you a question. Would the happy picture be honest and fair and right and true and good and maybe make change? In other words, would there be a solution in your happy story, or would there be kind of a cover-up in your happy story? If it comes with a solution, I'm interested in the happy story. If it just covers it up and doesn't push towards a solution, I'd rather have the reality check story that actually has a solution, because the happy story would be that we solved this problem in America with news in the first place.
Yeah, good point.
So you tell me whatever story you think makes sense on this.
You know, the thing is, ladies and gentlemen, when you see somebody and they've lied, you know, like 1,000 times to you, and then they come to you and say, we're turning over a new leaf, and we're not going to be lying anymore. We're going to, you know, tell you the truth. You know, unless you're... well, I guess you could say just a perfect guy, you kind of still remember a few of those 1,000 lies. And, you know, even though you hope, boy, you hope upon hope that they're honest about it this time, you know, it's
hard. Well, they have Hope Hicks at the helm, Kurt, the secret control agent from inside. I don't have a lot of hope in Hope. She's been, candidly kind of forced to admit that Liberty Roundtable is a great organization, but she's not very really flattering by choice. I've tried to talk to her. I've tried to interview her. I've tried to interview Donald. I've tried to work with her on a variety of things, and she just simply won't respond at all, Kurt.
Well, maybe she lost her BlackBerry, you know, something like that, right, Sam?
No. Does she have a BlackBerry, Kurt?
I don't know. I'm thinking America's black and blue because of all this, you know, so-called swamp draining that's not really going on, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I don't really know what's going on, to be honest with you, Kurt. Because really the question comes down to is this. Is Donald genuine and really trying to drain the swamp? And if he is, we really need to basically be as supportive as we possibly can and provide as much help as we possibly can.
Yes.
If that is not true, though, and he's really playing us for suckers, it's a big old psyop con game, then the sooner we expose the Donald as part of the problem, the better off we are.
Yep.
There's one difficult spot, Kurt.
Yeah.
You know what that is? How do you find out which is which?
That's a really good question.
Because really, in Donald's defense,
you pretty much have to go.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You pretty much have to go with, you know, by their fruits ye shall know them. And
but there's such a mixed bag of fruits. It's like every other grape. One's rotten, one's fantastic.
I know. Or one's fantastic and 10 are rotten, you know, kind of thing.
Well, okay.
It seems like to me. But anyway, I mean, you just hope for the best, but doggone it, it's sure you wish for it's like the one guy said, I want patience and I want it now. You know, I mean, that's just the way I am about this whole thing, you know?
Yeah.
So let's see, how many of the New York Times things did you say that were the failures? Have you already gone through all five or just two? Or
no, I went through all five, but all five have a little bit of twist, so it's really more like seven or eight when you get to the real bottom of the five. There's just five issues with multiple abuses of the people on it, Kurt, or multiple lies or misrepresentations or deceptions, whatever word you want to call them. See, in Donald's defense, he does a lot of good. Mm-hmm. I mean, his point's right about the media, Kurt.
Yeah, I mean, it's good talk.
So there you have it.
You know, here's one from the Washington Post. Headline, New York Times guilty of large screw-up on climate change story.
Yeah, now that's the first one I led with. That's in addition to five.
But isn't it interesting, the Washington Post, in my opinion, probably the buddies of the New York Times, you know, I mean, they'd kind of like to be them, but they're kind of like two peas in a pod, I think. So
good
in
point.
This story that's trying to say, look, you know, they screwed up. They don't talk about all five, you know, like the Daily Caller, right?
Of course not.
They're just going to bring up one. So, you know, then if you think that you're getting the truth when you read the Washington Post, then you think, well, you know, it looks like you missed out on the rest of it. And, you know, at least that's one of the things we want to do is, what if they all miss some and we just see it over and over in our lifetime? We've just seen it time and time again, haven't we?
As far as I can tell, absolutely. It's crazy.
Yeah. Good point.
It's out of control.
So I'll send you that headline. But, you know, screw-ups are pretty much what I'd call New York Times situation normal, all screwed up.
Amen to that, for sure. All right, there's an interesting story, Kurt, about salt in the news, right?
Well, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. You know, salt is what, you know, most people want to, at least in the health world, have basically just said, hey, you're, you know, this is the most evil thing ever, etc. And yet, from across the pond, the Guardian, .uk, by the way, when you go to their website, you'll see this thing that says, hey, we don't have a paywall. Now, what that means is they don't charge you to read the stories, but they request that you contribute. And we're the same way. We don't charge you to listen. We don't charge you to go to our website, but man, we sure need your help. Anyway, they say a danger to public health, uproar as scientists urges us to eat more salt. Yeah, in his new book, James it's a big, long Italian name, Di Nicolatano or something like that, claims salt could make us healthier. But experts have condemned the advice. Well, there are those experts, you know, like the New York Times going to condemn us too, huh? But anyway, the bottom line is, don't believe everything the experts tell you. And this guy says salt is necessary and good for us.
By the way,
eating more salt will reduce the amount of sugar in our diet.
All right, by the way,
help
hold on to
lose
that,
weight.
Because we'll open the next hour with this very discussion and drill into it more. I wanted to tease it this hour so that we can really dive into it next hour. I'm telling you right now, this guy's got some incredible stuff. We'll talk about his book. Hopefully, Kurt can get a hold of him, and we'll do a follow-up interview with the guy and more. This is tremendous news, and he's literally a scientist going against the mainstream grain, pardon the pun, when it comes to salt. He's taken on the whole establishment, including the Food and Drug Administration and more. Who's right, ladies and gentlemen? Where's the mainstream press? If they don't tell the truth on this, they're peddling fake news with all their sodium lies, right? All right, this nation shall endure. Donate and help us grow, will you? LibertyRoundtable.com.